I think every teacher should be a magician. Now, because teaching actually is a performance. Ideally, teaching should be theater. Otherwise, you lose interest. I'm sorry, I come after the magician. I don't know any magic. But hopefully, I'm going to show you a little bit about the magic of the English language. So, let's try and for the next 20 minutes. Now, I said in my little topic that I'm going to share with you what I learned in the last 40 years, and I only 20 minutes to do it. So, if I leave out anything, please see me afterwards. Okay. Now, you all know that as human beings, we are unique in the animal kingdom. We are the ones who can use language, right? Now then, but except for the guest speaker here, most of us, all of us are Chinese. And you can say, well, that put us at a great disadvantage when we learn English, right? I say wrong. And I tell you why it is wrong. Because in fact, by not being native speakers, we enjoy at least one advantage. And that advantage is we take nothing for granted. Mike here, he was born speaking the language. So he took a lot of English for granted. I'm sure, right, Mike? Okay. Now, I'm going to come into your area in a little while. Now what I'm saying is, take nothing in English for granted. Look at everything. Now, by the time you reach UIC here, you have studied at least, what, 14 years, some of you 15 years, right? And you find out that you're still struggling. Somehow, you still haven't got a handle, right? And the question is, why? Well, that is because we have not really looked at the so-called DNA of English, which is what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, we take nothing for granted. Where do we start? You know what? The place to start is what you're interested in. Right now in Hong Kong, and on the mainland too, too many of the schools are drilling you in grammar. Lots of grammar drills. Very little content. I've talked to teachers, and they said, it is boring to teach that kind of lesson, because it's all about rules, and in the end, you're not any better functional. So what are we going to do? You know what? I don't know how many of you like sports. That's your area, right? You like sports. I have a little secret for you. Some of the best writing, dramatic, creative writing, is in sports writing. You go to the South China Morning Post. These days, I flip to the sports pages first, because that's where you find quality writing. And why is that? Because if you write about politicians, you have to be very careful. You don't want to offend them, right? When you talk about athletes, sportsmen, you have a certain liberty, certain freedom. You know, it can be dramatic. You can be critical, negative, and get away with it. Now, also, in sports competition, that in itself is drama, win, lose. So that makes writing very exciting. I have a couple of books to recommend to you if you are keen. These are prize-winning sports writers. I learned a lot from their writing techniques. And Mike can later on expand on that. Okay. Now, what are some of the problems that we Chinese students, teachers face? Well, one thing you know, that By the time you reach UIC, you are no longer too concerned with grammar. We assume you know enough basic grammar rules, right? But there's another problem. The problem is monotony. Lack of variation in the way you write. How many of you write this solving problem, and you don't know what else to say? And by the time, that's why, you know, school writing is so boring, because there's a lack of variety. So what are we going to do about that? I'll come back to that later. Of course, the other problem is there's a lack of vocabulary, right? Now, this may not be true of some of you, because I know that Chinese traditional scholarship, we like big words. You like big words, why? Because you think big words impress people. Now, that's the number one mistake you will make. If you write or speak to impress, you never do. You write or speak to influence, to change people's mind, to change their behavior, to change their conduct. Okay. The other day, there was a very high-ranking Hong Kong government official. The lady who left, too bad she's gone. She would know him quite well. And this gentleman is so high, I think he would make upwards of $200,000 a month. That's how high he is. But you know what? He came to our school and he gave a speech. And that speech is on the importance of English. And one of the words he used is infelicitous. Do you know what it means? Infelicitous? Let's see. You'll find it. Oh, that. Now, felicitous means happy, right? Now, his speech was full of infelicitous and other big words. And by the looks of the audience, I know he has lost it. So please, forget about big words. What you need are lively little words from the Anglo-Saxon language, which I'm sure Mike would tell you later. Okay, now let's go on to something else. Oh, sorry, you shouldn't show this actually. I was going to ask you, you all know dog, right? But do you know how to use it as an adverb? Now, if you're a doghead, that means you are very persistent. You won't give up like a dog with a bone. You will not let go of the bone. So the adjective is dogged. Now what I'm trying to tell you here is that English is an alphabetical language from which, from one word, you can create so many others. So this is one quick way for you to increase your vocabulary expressive power. Okay? Now, so dogged is the adverb. When you pursue something without giving up. All right. Oh. Now, one big mistake most Chinese students make is that they consider only the primary meaning of words. For example, you look at the word die, and you all know what that means. But you know, English is a language that increases by extension. Now, what do I mean by that? Look at this word here. Die, I'm going to die. Well, you know what? The extension is so that it can mean the opposite. For example, Yao Ming is coming to UIC. I'm going to die. Now, why are you going to die? Because you are so excited, so happy, right? But if your mom, your father and mother were arguing outside the hall, making quite a big scene, and you say, I almost died. Now, that dying is not the same thing as Yao Ming's dying, right? That dying is the opposite. You're so embarrassed that you almost died, right? So there you are. So my little advice to you is this. Please, don't use electronic dictionary. Get an advanced Because what you need are all the examples showing words in different contexts. Okay, that's available. Okay, now let's go on to something else. Oh, there's a killer smile, you know, with, oh, maybe she has a killer smile. That's positive, right? If I say you have a killer smile, then all the boys will die for you, right? But if you are a killer shark, that's the opposite. That's all. Now, oh, this one here. You all know what flirt means, right? Flirting. You know, you're laughing because I know you know how to flirt. Now, but if you can flirt with disaster, that means if you are going out with that boy and he's a drug dealer and this and that, you are flirting with disaster. So it's negative now. The extension, okay? Okay. Wow. You know what? Men fear one thing from women. Naked. Men, that's one thing that keep men away from women. It's nagging. Because they're nagged by their mother, I don't know, for 20 years. And then the wife and the girlfriend continues. And that's why they don't like it. But then, nagging, you can have nagging pain. You know, you injure yourself because the pain won't go away, like your mother nagging at you, won't go away. Okay. Now, I have a little challenge for you. Do you know Angelina Jolie? Yes. You like her?
Yes.
What's special about her, physically? What part of her is sexy?
Mouth.
Ah, mouth, very good. Which part of the mouth? Lips, very good. Now, in the West, unlike us Chinese, we may not like thick lips like that. Now, I challenge you to come up with something creative. Creative in the sense that don't say it's thick lips or fat lips. I want something that I can see in my mind. Anybody has an idea? Someone has come up with bee sting lips. After bee stung you, their lips swollen. It's called bee stung lips. Bee sting lips. Now, why do I give you this example? This example leads me to what I'm going to tell you next. But you know, Mao Zedong liberated China. You know, Deng Xiaoping liberated the Chinese economy. And you can liberate the English language from the Chinese point of view. Now, there are three levels of writing, okay? One is, in high school, you try to write correctly, grammatically. Secondly, then you try to write adequately. You know all the proverbs and all the idioms, and you borrow them, right? Now, is that good enough? No, it is not. Because every writer has the responsibility to create something original in language. And these things, to me, qualifies as creative language. So from now on, don't be satisfied with repeating the words you borrow from the library or from the reading. Think about the language. I don't have time to tell you the techniques to go into it. But I want you to not take anything for granted. Okay. Now, but you know, if you do that, then your whole life becomes an adventure. Your whole life becomes a love affair with language that won't die. Now, I've said so many times before, the fundamental difference between English and Chinese is the fact that English is alphabetical. Now, this is very, very important. It may be very obvious, but it's very important. And I tell you why it is important. Because you have 26 letters, right? And out of these 26 letters, you can create how many psalms? Something like 44 psalms. That's about 3 or 4 times more than in Chinese. Which means there are a lot of psalms you and I are not familiar with. There are lots of them. And these are psalms, and these are words you tend to avoid when you need them very badly. I always quote this one example. If I say, I hear thunder, you don't respond to it. But if I say, thunder rumble across the field, right away, that sound of thunder is brought to me very vividly. And it's possible because of the alphabetical nature of it. So look for these so-called echo words. Look for them, compile your own list, and use them. Recently, in an article, I wrote this. First of all, since it's on a board, I'm going to tell you anyway. Now, in writing, what are the features of good writing? Might you can disagree with me if you like, but I'm going to tell you this. If you want to write with simplicity, there are 8 parts of speech. Which 2 parts you should use, or 3? If you want to write very simply, with great simplicity, you use prepositions. For example, if I say, the woman came home to her husband behind his slippers. Now behind is preposition. That is better than to say the woman came home and found her husband reading newspaper. Isn't that so? Now, also, look at this other phrase. He played the piano by ear at 6. By ear at 6. Both are prepositions. Great simplicity. Okay, I have no time to go into other examples, other details. I have 1 more minute. Okay, 1. Oh. Okay, now let's go back to, you know how it is. We Chinese are fed up. You know, how come we have nouns, verbs, adjectives? Why do you need them? Why do you need all 8 of them? I tell you why. You need variety and flexibility. For example, we say, oh, she likes attention, let's say. So that's a verb, right? You like attention. If I want to say it in a noun, how do I say it? She's a glutton for attention, but somebody who very wants to eat a lot. Or if I want to use an adjective, I say she's hungry for attention. So now you have variety in expression. Not just the same old way, solve problems, you say that 200 times, it's still the same. No good. So now, my time is up, and I want to leave you with this. Do you think you can be like Mao, Chairman Mao? Bring revolution to the use of language. Do you think you can be like Deng Xiaoping and do the same? Listen, don't rule anything out. Remember what Cameron said? Something about curiosity, creativity, being the most powerful tool in your personal arsenal. So I say, can you do it? I say like Obama, yes, you can. Thank you.